So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, this day when we celebrate your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you give your people the word of life. Thank you, Jesus, that you've come that we may have life and have it to the full. We bless your name. There's a New Zealand poet named J.K. Baxter who wrote a poem on Jesus. And one part of it goes like this. My love came into the city, but they did not recognize him. His word was of truth, and his word was love. But his purest word was mercy. Purest word of Jesus is mercy. Saint Faustina had the Lord speak to her that she was to proclaim that the mercy of God is his highest attribute. And John Paul II, when he wrote Dives in Misericordia, his second encyclical, which means rich in mercy, he said it is the most stupendous quality in the heart of God. So today, we join the great saints, like Saint Thérèse de Lisieux, where she begins her biography by saying, I will sing forever of the mercies of the Lord. And we look to the risen Christ, proclaimed to us in the Gospel today, with his wounds in the hands and the feet, and especially the wound in his side, because we know as a divine mercy image was given to Sister Faustina, that she was told the red ray represented the blood flowing from the side of Christ, and the white, the water, the blood reminding us of the gift of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation, bringing cleansing of sin, our redemption, and the water reminding us of our baptism and of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a proclamation of mercy, that the mercy of God flows from the heart of Christ risen to each of us, because he has gone into the depths of our human misery and suffering when he died on the cross for our sake, and now risen, he appears to the apostles and he says, peace be with you. John Paul II always reminded us that mankind would never have peace until we turn to the mercy of God. And he took that from Faustina. Today we're also celebrating the beatification of John Paul II. How wonderful is that? About to happen in a couple of hours' time. And he was the Pope of Mercy. He actually was the Bishop of Krakow. That's how I say it in English. I'm not sure how I said it in Polish. He was the Archbishop of Krakow. And he was very responsible for putting forward the cause of Sister Faustina. Because her convent was in a suburb in that city. And he, when he returned to his homeland in 1997, he went to the Shrine of Mercy, which had actually been built at the same location of the Solvay chemical factory where the Pope as a young man had worked during the war. And he said on that occasion, the message of divine mercy has always been near and dear to me. It is as if history had inscribed it in the tragic experience of the Second World War. In those difficult years, this mystery of mercy was a particular support and inexhaustible source of hope, not only for the people of Krakow, but for our entire nation. And then he went on to say, this was also my personal experience, and I took this with me to the See of Peter. And in a sense, it has formed the image of this pontificate. So he saw himself as very deliberately as Pope being an icon of mercy. That's why his very second encyclical was called Rich in Mercy. And in the providence of God, we know that John Paul II died on the eve of the Feast of Divine Mercy. He was the one responsible for bringing this feast to the Church in the year 2000, when he canonized Sister Faustina and proclaimed this day as a day of divine mercy, the second Sunday of Easter. Of course, he had mercy in his heart. I only met him once, and you can see it in his eyes. He seemed to be able to say to you, you're the most important person in the world, even though I was a bit of a nobody before him. And then we know that on the 13th of May 1981, an assassin's bullet went through his body and it should have killed him, but there's the time when he cried out to Our Lady of Fatima, it's her, the feast day of the apparitions, and he was saved from death. But when he recuperated, there was that beautiful scene of him going to the jail where Muhammad Ali Akbar, his would-be assassin, was incarcerated. And he spent a good half hour with him. And there's a beautiful photo, which some of you would have seen, I'm sure, of him really leaning over to Ali Akbar and obviously bringing him forgiveness. Because the greatest spiritual work of mercy is forgiveness. And what the world needs most, more than anything else, is this grace of forgiveness. In the year 2002, 1 year after the terrible tragedy of the September 11 and all that happened as a result of terror in the world and counter-terrorism, and the world has never been the same after that. In that year, he went back to the shrine, and now they'd built a big church there, and he dedicated that church to the Divine Mercy. And he begins his talk on that occasion by quoting from the diary of Saint Faustina. O inconceivable and unfathomable mercy of God, who can worthily adore you and sing your praises? O greatest attribute of God Almighty, you are the sweet hope of sinners. And then he goes on to say this. I wish to proclaim that apart from the mercy of God, there is no other source of hope for mankind. He's obviously thinking of the events that have just occurred. I desire to repeat with faith, Jesus, I trust you. This proclamation, this confession of trust in the all-powerful love of God is especially needed in our time, when mankind is experiencing bewilderment in the face of many manifestations of evil. The invocation of God's mercy needs to rise up from the depths of the hearts filled with suffering, apprehension and uncertainty, and at the same time yearning for an infallible source of hope. So he's calling the whole church to, and the whole world, to turn to the merciful heart of Christ to find our hope. And on this occasion, he dedicated the whole world to the divine mercy. And he said this, "Eternal Father, I offer to you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sufferings of his passion. Have mercy on us and upon the whole world." We've been praying that in the chaplet before Mass. And then he says this, "Upon us and upon the whole world? Yes, how greatly today the world needs God's mercy. In every continent, from the depth of human suffering, a cry for mercy seems to rise up. Where hatred and the thirst for revenge dominate, where war brings suffering and death to the innocent, where the grace of mercy is needed in order to settle human minds and hearts and to bring peace. Wherever respect for life and human dignity are lacking, there's a need of God's merciful love, in whose light we see the inexpressible value of every human being. Mercy is needed in order to ensure that every injustice in the world will come to an end in the splendor of truth. Today, therefore, in this shrine, I solemnly entrust the world to divine mercy. I do so with the burning desire that the message of God's merciful love proclaimed here through Saint Faustina may be known to all the peoples of the earth and fill their hearts with hope." So, my dear brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful day. We're celebrating the beatification of this man who spoke those words, which I find very inspiring and so full of truth, that without mercy we are lost. We have no future as a human race without the mercy of God. Some years ago I came across a story that struck me very deeply, caused me to write a book. It's a story of a woman named Sister Ludi Vertrusk, who had a great tragedy occur in her life. Unfortunately, during the war in Serbia and Croatia, some soldiers had come across the walls of a convent, and they had raped the sisters. And there was a letter published that Sister Ludi had written to her superior, telling her that she could no longer go on as a consecrated woman, because now she was bearing a child as a result of this violation. And she said in the letter that she found it so difficult to come to grips with that the God who had called her to be his consecrated one would have allowed such a horrible thing to happen to her. But as she went on, she said that by the grace of God, she'd been able to come to terms with it and offer her life as a sacrifice for many women who have been violated in this terrible way right across the globe. And then she said some very beautiful words that struck me. She said, "I don't know where I and my child will go from now, but all I know is that my child will grow up knowing that the greatest thing that any human being can do is to forgive." She'd come to that place where she could forgive her aggressor. The greatest thing that any human being can do is to forgive. We have just celebrated over Easter how Christ, the one whom we follow, the one whom we love, the one who we're committed to, the one who was raised up on the cross for our sake, the one who endured all of the wounds of the world as he hung on that cross. And we celebrate that he, at that moment of greatest agony, both exterior agony in his body, even more so in his soul, as he felt the weight and the pain of the sin of the world upon himself, that he cried out of those who were crucifying him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that breaks the cycle of violence in the world, my brothers and sisters. If we go after revenge, if we go after hatred, if we allow the bitterness that rises in our hearts because someone has offended us to cause us to seek that retaliation and to punish them and seek only justice, then the world will never be changed for the better. But if we allow forgiveness to come into our hearts, if we allow ourselves to be united with Jesus on the cross and forgive, to let it go, that fist that is held up inside myself, to let it go, then the cycle of violence can be broken. Otherwise, violence produces violence and more violence. And that's what the Pope is saying in those words, that the only hope for the world is mercy. It doesn't mean that we should not seek justice. Yes, justice is important, and justice must be attended to. But if we only seek justice, we become a litigious age, where the people are just taking one another to court all the time. And there's never any closure to any problem because we haven't learned to forgive. The violence will stop when we learn mercy, when we learn to forgive. And you might say, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. You ever had that come into your heart? Well, there's a story, you know, it goes back to the French Revolution, where the guillotine was just about to come down on a young man's neck, and his mother was in the crowd, and she cried out to the commandant, "Have mercy on him!" And the commandant said, "He doesn't deserve mercy." And she said, "Well, if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." That's the point. None of us have deserved mercy. Many have just been to the sacrament of reconciliation or intend to go later. And when you come into that sacrament, you don't deserve to be forgiven. But you receive the gift of God's forgiveness anyway. You receive his mercy. And we who have been freely given mercy again and again by our loving God, by our gracious Father, will we not forgive those who have offended us? Will we not loosen that clenched fist and allow our hearts to forgive? It's so easy to be judgmental, isn't it? Another Pope who I really liked was the roly-poly John the 23rd. Remember him? Yeah. He's always saying something funny. I remember one time when he came into the... this is a bit off the track, but I'll tell it anyway. He came into the... making a visit to the Holy Spirit hospital in Rome, the Hospital of Santo Spirito. And the Mother Superior is all sort of upset, anxious about the Pope coming, you know. And so the Pope arrives, and she blurts out, "Oh, Holy Father, I'm the superior of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "You've got one up on me. I'm only the vicar of Christ." But anyway, before he became Pope, he had a place of a position as an archbishop in Romania in the diplomatic corps. And one of the priests under his care had fallen. And other priests who were his consultants were sort of saying, "You've got to really come down on him hard, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do that." And this future pope, he just sort of picked up a goblet, a glass goblet that was there on the table. He said to them, "Whose goblet is this?" And they said, "It's yours, Your Excellency." And he threw it down on the stone floor and it smashed into many pieces. And he said, "And whose goblet is it now?" "Well, it's still yours, Your Excellency." And he said, "And that's how it is with my brother. Whether he's altogether, or whether he's been smashed and broken by the circumstances of his life, he's still my brother." My friends, we must have mercy in our hearts with one another. I remember when I first went into the brotherhood with the brothers and the missionaries of God, so there were just five of us, and we went into this little house. And until that time, I'd been a sort of a parish priest, and I hadn't been used to living with people. And I said to them, "There's only one thing I ask of you." I said, "What's that?" I said, "Have mercy on me." And I guess that's what we ask of one another, huh? And that's what we want to bestow on one another, because God has bestowed it upon us, that we'll have mercy on one another. That will make a world full of peace, that will give us the hope of the risen Jesus that's spoken about in today's readings. May we always have mercy, and bless his name.